Can't think of the subject for this afternoon without can't hear my mom's voice reminding me on several occasions that I was in dire need of an attitude adjustment. And of course, she was right in many of those cases. But when we think about attitude, a lot of times it's easy to look at others and say, you know, they have a really bad attitude. I just can't believe that guy. Or I can't believe her that, you know, she's always doing this or that. You know, it's easy for us to identify others that have a bad attitude. And we really look at, on that very negatively. But as we think about this, how do we come across to other people? Do we come across as having that type of attitude? The attitude that nothing ever good happens in life and everything is just drum and ho-hum and nothing good can ever happen? You know, we can get in that rut. We ourselves can fall into that if we're not careful, because there are a lot of concerning things that go on with just in the world in general and in society. And if all we do is concentrate on those things, then we too can fall into that. You know, we just passed March, and typically in March, a lot of people that like basketball, they would like to watch the March Madness tournament. You know, when you watch on that, a lot of times they'll bring these people out and you'll see these different players, you know, and then they excel in what they do and they're very good at what they do. And it shows their past and what they've come through. And we look at that and we say, how in the world could they have a good attitude after going through all of that? You know, you don't just have to look at sports to know that. There are people that have been through some very harsh conditions, some very trying times in lives. In their lives, and they come through that with a good attitude. How do we look at those people? We look on them very positively, don't we? Because we know that they've gone through something that we maybe ourselves couldn't have made it through. But they've done it, and they've done it with a good attitude. And they continue to spread that attitude and that optimism to others. And we always look up to that type of a person. So as we think of the topic this afternoon, we want to think about our attitude and how other people look on us when we go about our day from day to day. We do have a great amount of respect for those, and they gain a lot of respect from others when we see where they've come from and the things that they've done and how they deal with certain situations. You know, what type of person do you prefer to spend your time with? You know, a lot of times it is that person that when they face adversity, they do it with an optimistic attitude. And they don't say, oh no, not again. You know, this is just a bad deal. We're not going to be able to make it through the day. We like that person that says, this is what we're facing and this is what we're going to do. And if that doesn't work, we'll find something else and we will make it work. That's the type of people we like to be around. You know, we're going to see different things in our lives, and our attitudes can be overshadowed, and we can look at different things in our lives and in our church situations and in our finances and in our relationships and our marriages and our families. And many, many of these things can overwhelm us until we have that attitude that no one wants to see. You know, we can't be that light in the world that Christ expects us to be when we face things like that. We just can't be the person that He would have us to be when that's how we deal with things. Why would anyone want to be a part of something we have if all we offer is something down constantly? Constantly, everything in your life is down, and yet we invite them to church and say, you know, you should really come be a part of what we got going on. That's not a good sell, is it? If they look at our lives and see that all we see is something bad, every turn, everything we deal with in life is bad, why would they want to be a part of that? The answer is they wouldn't. They want to be a part of people that look at life, and when they look at it, they see a positive thing going on there. In Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, we read, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Here you have a situation that no one wants to be in. You know, we've been very lucky in that we haven't been persecuted on any scale that would make any difference in our lives, truly, if we actually look at it. You know, things are turning and that we may face that in the future, but currently, there's really no amount of persecution that we face. But you know, there are times when people look at it, at the people that want to lead a Christian life, and they look on them and they say, well, you know, they're maybe not as smart as everybody else because they still believe in God. You know, we know that's not true. Poor them. We may deal with those situations. But you know, this tells us in this passage here that whenever you're persecuted by these people, whenever those times come, deal with that the way you should. And don't take a bad attitude toward those things. You know, with all that might be going on at the time, rejoice and find comfort in something. Find something in the situation. Find something what's going on here with your life to be thankful for, to think on. That's how you get through those situations. In Proverbs 17 and verse 27, it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. If that sounds a lot like, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. You know, we've heard that pastor, or that saying before, and it goes right along with this. You see, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit, and those that find the good in a situation are those that others look up to and want to be a part of. Now think of it in terms of leading people to Christ. In order for others to consider what you have to say or what you would like to teach them, you have to have confidence in what you're about to say. And that's what this passage is talking about. He that hath knowledge spareth words, but a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. We should have a good attitude because people, that's what people really want to be a part of. And when we do the things that it teaches us here, that's what man will be, want to be a part of. If all that have ever heard from, if all anyone has ever heard from us is how bad things are, then why would they want to listen to us? We have to be careful about the message we constantly send to others. You know, as you study on this topic, one thing you'll find is you keep getting led back to chapter 15 of Proverbs. You know, I finally stopped as I was doing that and went back and read that chapter. And I think it's appropriate that we read that at this point. In Proverbs 15 and beginning in verse number 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A fool despises the father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is the wicked, is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth other righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The way of the slothful man is an hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? The way of life is above the wise, and he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoiceth the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know, as you read through there, you can kind of see two sides going on there. You see one that's sort of a negative side, and this is what you should not do. But really, if we concentrate on the other side, the part that it says, these are the things that you should do. These are the things that are going to be pleasing to God, and these are the things that are going to make you successful in life. You know, as we read through there, which ones of those passages stand out to us? Is it that there's all these bad people out here doing all of these things wrong, and that's what I get from that passage? Well, that's true. There is some of that going on. But really what we should be concerned on is, how do I live my life? How do I proactively approach what's going on in these passages? That's how we should be approaching that. You know, someone we may know may come to mind as we read through these passages. And we think about how they deal with situations and how they approach certain things. And we see that lived out in their lives. When they're faced with something, even when it would profit them more to do the wrong thing, they do the right thing. And we look up to those individuals. In verse 1, it says, a soft answer turneth away strife. You know, in a lot of situations, we choose to respond in the wrong way, don't we? It's one of the easiest things to do, is just to respond in the wrong way. In verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. And a lot of times, our first reaction is to lash out. And we could take the attitude that we've been wronged, and we're going to set someone straight, can't we? We're really going to tell them what they're going to have to do to make things right. And in most cases, we take the attitude rather to kill someone with kindness, as they say, we get the better outcome, or what we're looking for, if we do that. You know, think of a different situation where you had somebody and you thought, well, you know, this is really going to be a bad situation and we may have some conflict here. But we see an individual that maybe goes into that situation and doesn't lash out and approaches that with a positive attitude and goes in and compliments that person or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden it becomes a very positive thing. You know, I can think of several situations that were that way. In verses 13 and 15, two examples of how positive attitude brings about a better outcome. And we see it time and time again. When people approach those things, it will always have a better outcome. In verse 13, you know, I could talk about how bad the sorrow of the heart is and how it will break our spirit. Or in verse 15, how the days of the afflicted are evil. And that's what we could concentrate on, that negative piece of that. But by doing so, we would totally be concentrating on the negative aspect of those two verses. And I'm not suggesting that we just ignore that other side. It's there for a reason. But when we look at how we want to live our lives, that's telling us the better way of doing those things. You don't fall into that rut. Don't be the person in the group that constantly focuses on the negative part of every situation around you. If you do, just as the verses state, you'll be miserable. We may think of different individuals, and every time you see them, you know, they've got something on their mind, and it's always something very bad. And everything, the world's about to come to an end. You know, there was a Chicken Little, you know, we all read that as kids. Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. And we get a little older and we can think of people that it seems like that's kind of how they are. The sky is always falling. Don't be that individual. Concentrate on the positive. And people will see that in your life. Now I want to look at how this affects those around us. You know, we're a persuasive people. We're persuaded pretty easily. Probably every one of us have gone to buy some item or another, and we've gone in thinking we're going to spend X amount, And after we talk to this salesman and he tells us how improved our life is going to be with whatever this item is, you know, we may walk out of there spending twice what we thought. That's because we're persuasive people. We're easily persuaded when we allow ourselves to be. You know, there are situations where that persuasion can be very strong and it can spread to a lot of different people. You know, years ago there was a company called MicroStrategy. A man by the name of Michael Saylor ran this company. You know, he lost $6 billion in one day. One day, $6 billion. Simply because allegations were made that he was using questionable accounting practices. Just the allegation cost him $6 billion. People were persuaded by that, weren't they? Something they saw, some news that they heard, persuaded them that probably he was doing something that he shouldn't have been then. Maybe you remember years ago when Michael Jordan came back. A lot of basketball fans here. He came out of retirement, you know, and he was going to go back and he was going to play basketball again. Coca-Cola stock soared. It went through the roof. Why? Because he endorsed that product. And people thought because Michael Jordan's going to go into the game again, everybody's going to start drinking Coke again. Right or wrong, that was the perception and people were influenced by that. So we are a persuasive people. We are easily persuaded on things that we want to be persuaded on. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, it says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." It says, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? That's not easy at all. When we think about those individuals doing those things to us. But you know, if we're praying for those people that might be in our lives, what is that going to do to our attitude toward them? Can we really pray to God for somebody that we have a bad attitude toward? That's going to be extremely difficult, isn't it? To say, God, I got this person in my life and they're really doing harm to me. When we know good and well our attitude's not correct. When we're really not treating those individuals right either. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? That puts a check on us to make sure that we're doing the right things and to make sure that we have the right attitude toward that individual. Many times we don't stop to think how our attitude may be affecting a situation, and it could be that a change in our own attitude could make that situation better. You know, I often think of Paul and the task he took on in approaching the church in Corinth. You know, there were some really bad things going on there in that church. There were things that needed to be corrected. And I'm sure Sean's gone into situations that he really did not want to face. Really didn't. And I'm sure he's dealt with situations that were really bad. But when we think about Paul approaching the church at Corinth, I mean, there were things going on there that none of us could see being a part of. And how did Paul approach that situation? You know, he could have said that that church was just full of bad seeds and they were just going to have to let it go. He could have went to those people and said, "Everything you're doing is wrong. I'm Paul. I was specifically picked by Christ and I'm here to set every one of you straight." He could have done that, couldn't he? But that's not what he did. In 1 Corinthians 1, reading there in verse 1, it says, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. So we read through that passage, and we have to get all the way down to verse 10, where he actually comes out and says, okay, you guys have got a problem. What were the first 9 verses about? They were about him reaching out to them, putting a hand forth to them, and saying, you know, we're all in this together. We're all in this together in Christ's name. That's how he approached that situation, a bad situation. And he could have went in looking for a fight. Maybe he would have found one. He didn't choose to do that, though, did he? He chose to relate to them and remind them of why it was that we all have this common goal. And he chose to go in on that common ground. How do we deal with these types of situations? You know, when we have to deal in conflict, and I'm sure every one of us do at one time or another, deal with conflict. Is that the way we do it? To go in and extend a hand to these people? You know, Paul gives us the perfect example on how to handle those situations. And he didn't do it by going in with a negative attitude. He did it by going in with a positive attitude and extending that hand. And what better way to approach that type of situation? You know, Paul teaches us here that we can keep a positive attitude even when faced with a negative situation. You know, as Christians, we have no reason to carry a bad attitude toward things. We have the greatest hope there could ever be for things to come. We have that hope. And no matter what else is going on in our lives, that's where our focus should be. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good?" The Lord's with us, and his ears are open. When we're feeling down, why do we not take the time in prayer? Why do we choose to go to others and spread that rather than dealing with it within ourselves and going to Christ and taking those situations to him? Now, as we discussed before, we are a persuasive people. And we have no right to bring others down by carrying a bad attitude or a negative attitude. Because just as we can be persuaded to do good, we can persuade others to feel bad as well. In Philippians 2 and verse 4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." You know, constant negative attitude stems from a lot of times selfishness on our part, doesn't it? We just concentrate on that one thing that's in our lives that leads us to be negative toward everything else in life. And we don't think about how others may be dealing with certain things, how others may have something that's completely worse than what we're dealing with. We simply concentrate on whatever it is we feel is lacking in our own lives. And if I don't feel that things are going my way, why do I want to concentrate on that in others and what they may be lacking? You know, I would never want to leave the impression that we don't care when others are struggling, because we do. That's why we come here. That's why we fellowship with one another, so that we can encourage each other. But when we think about our own attitudes and how we interject into others' lives every time we come in contact with them, we need to do what we can to make that a positive experience and not always concentrate on the negative in this life.